This Church Life Today podcast is a production of Redeemer Radio and the McGrath Institute for Church Life at the University of Notre Dame, and is brought to you in part by Notre Dame FCU and our listeners.
Welcome to Church Life Today, a production of the McGrath Institute for Church Life at the University of Notre Dame. I'm your host, Leonard DiLorenzo. What is the mission of the laity in the church and the world? And how ought lay Catholics be formed for that mission? These are questions for the whole church. Today's guest, Father Michael Sweeney, has been working for decades to push these questions to the fore. But rather than just advocating for their importance or merely thinking about them, he's been doing things, lots of things, including founding a new lay mission project in the Diocese of Sacramento. You may know Father Sweeney as the co-founder of the Catherine of Siena Institute or president of the Dominican School of Philosophy and Theology at the Graduate Theological Union in Berkeley, where he served from 2004 to 2015. He joined us today as part of a swing through the Midwest where he is traveling to give talks related to the laity and rebuilding the church in a time of crisis. Father Sweeney, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, for quite some time, you've been deeply committed to the formation of the laity for their mission in the church and in the world. So maybe we can start with a basic but probably a difficult question. What is the mission of the laity?
At the Second Vatican Council, of course, for the first time in the church's history, the laity were considered themselves. Mm-hmm. And a mission was entrusted to the laity. And the mission best stated in Lumen Gentium, the dogmatic constitution of the Church of the Modern World from the Second Vatican Council, but it speaks of most especially the mission of the Church to the world, so the mission ad extra. And to the laity are given a particular responsibility for secular society. Now, in the Church's understanding, secular society does not mean profane society.
the godless society, or something like that, right.
Although if you look up secular, you can find things like www.nogod.com.
Oh, okay.
Yes. But rather, and most Catholics, by the way, don't know or realize that secular is a Catholic idea.
Hmm.
That in other words, it is a realm of things that are directed to men and to women rather than to God himself.
Hmm.
And so now this is a vast field. It's the things bound to time, in a sense, temporal things.
Mm-hmm.
But everything from education to the political order to the legal order to the sciences, healthcare, education, all of these things are properly secular initiatives and have been entrusted in a particular way to the laity. And so the laity are to be in society, the council says, like a leaven. Mm-hmm. And their task is to conform these different areas of secular initiative to the plan of God.
Mm-hmm.
The council goes so far as to say, to restore to creation its original intention, which is an amazing thing to say. And I've not seen this very much commented.
Right.
Sounds like the undoing of original sin.
and that's the mission of the laity.
That is the mission of the laity.
So in that sense, the mission field for the laity is the world. You're saying,
yes.
You know, the mission is to the secular world. In other words, all the things that have to do with our life here are actually fair game for the mission of the laity.
Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, are in a particular way proper to the laity.
Mm.
The council speaks of a secular character of the laity, a secular disposition, whereby I think there are two things. One is that the laity have been assigned that as their apostolic obligation, and they are appointed to the apostolate by our Lord himself, not by delegation of priest or bishop. And so they have properly this work assigned by our Lord himself. But there's a second sense in which the whole realm of the secular is in a way ordered to the laity. In other words, particularly susceptible of the lay initiative.
Mm-hmm.
And so this too is pulled out in the conciliar documents.
So I imagine if we pulled a lay Catholic off the street, if we could find him, or a lay Catholic in a parish, let's say, and we said that, part of your mission as a lay person, myself as a lay person, is to restore the world, help to restore the world, participate in the Lord's restoration of the world from original sin.
Yes.
I imagine we'd feel quite inadequate to the task, underprepared to say.
And I think amazed that you had the task at all, because this is hardly taught.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I think if you were to ask a lay person after Mass, what is a lay person in the church, they would answer a Catholic who is not ordained.
Mm-hmm. because it has a negative definition in that sense. Yeah. It's defined by what it is not.
Yves Congar, the great Dominican theologian of the Council, mm-hmm. liked to point to a German theological dictionary, I believe of 1872, and under the heading laity, it said, see clergy.
Which has so much meaning, we can hardly even comment on it
that's
here.
That's right. And so that the laity has been entrusted with an ecclesial mission. Uh-huh. Which is the redemption of the world, is hardly known, and certainly I think most lay people in a way are inadequate to the task. Mm.
So for somebody who is who has a priestly vocation, a religious vocation, there is a significant amount of time in seminary in. Particular forms of religious vocation within a congregation or on behalf of a diocese.
I had 8 years of formation before I was inflicted on the people of God.
right. But for a lay person, there doesn't seem to be this period of intentional formation for this mission.
There is none. As a matter of fact, the initiative that I'm undertaking, I believe, is unique in the church, actually to provide such a formation.
And this is the Lay Mission Project?
Exactly.
Could you tell us a little bit about that?
The backing up again, mm-hmm. what the laity have received in a way is a preparation to enter into the sacramental life of the church. And so hopefully lay Catholics have received a catechesis. Mm-hmm. Even that sometimes is a bit of a stretch. But prepared for this celebration of the sacraments. The reception of the sacraments. Mm-hmm. Because I think the paradigm in the church has been one of the care of souls. And so we read again in the council documents that the sole purpose of the parish is the care of souls. But if the care of souls is the, and if that means, and I think paradigmatically in the church, it means, and by paradigm, how our relationships play mm-hmm. out, I think what it really means is that the laity are passive recipients of the ministry of the ordained. Mm-hmm. And so only the ordained in the church have agency. Now, that really is the paradigm, I think.
Yeah.
Now, we've always offered a formation around a mission. And so the mission of the ordained is the care of souls. Mm-hmm. And so we give the ordained, as you say, a formation. The religious receive a formation according to the charism of the order,
sure.
what they have been entrusted.
Right.
The laity have no mission, and therefore there has been no formation. And this, again, the paradigm, the actual way in which we relate. Now, the conciliar documents do insist upon a mission of the laity that is other than that of the ordained. But that really hasn't been heard because I believe that the instruction, the teaching, is filtered through the paradigm of our relationships. And so we all know that the parish consists of a pastor and his flock. Mm-hmm. Or as I like to point out, the pastor and his critics. but hardly. Uh-huh. But a real formation for the laity. And so the project is to provide such a formation.
Mm. Formation following for mission, as you were just stipulating. And so what, and this may have to do with the lay formation or the lay mission project with which you're involved as the executive director and helping to develop. But what do you understand to be the important dimensions of formation for the laity then? If this is their mission, the mission to the secular world to be leaven, to go and proclaim the gospel with your life as we're instructed
exactly.
at the end of Mass.
Exactly.
What is the formation appropriate to that?
First of all, it must take seriously lay competence. And so St. John Paul in Christa Fidelis Laici, the lay faithful, Christ lay faithful people, This was a document, an apostolic exhortation of St. John Paul that came out in 1988 after a year of synod on the in 87 on the laity. But the Holy Father said that the layperson should regard their present circumstance in the world as a divine vocation, a divine call. And so your relationships, the actual work you're undertaking, your life in the world is at this moment a divine call, because it is from that place and in that place that you're going to exercise your apostolate. Now that means, and this is another of my frustrations, that is that all formation in the church has been based on a seminary model. And the difficulty with it is that the end of a seminary education is governance in the church, which is the one thing we will not ask of the laity, except in terms of extraordinary ministries, participations in the proper ministry of the ordained. And so the first thing is that it really must take people where they are, be respectful of their divine call and of their competence, and then to provide a formation that takes seriously secular engagement. And so now the elements of any formation, my own, first of all, there's a spiritual dimension. And so a spiritual practice that is appropriate to laymen and women. Another thing St. John Paul says in the same letter, that a layperson who spends too much time in church is shirking their responsibility.
The layperson needs to spend some time in church, which is another problem we have currently, but too much time
true.
In church.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, the liturgy is the source and summit of our Christian life, but it's the summit of something. And it is, in fact, the discharging of the lay mission.
Right.
And so there must be a spiritual discipline adequate to laymen and women that takes seriously their secular commitment. There must be a communal dimension. We don't form ourselves. And as a matter of fact, it's essential that we learn to take counsel together. So that dimension. There must be a theological formation, and the theological formation must be systematic. That is, we begin with what is the lay role in the church? What does the church ask? And then build out from that. And then every part of the course, every part of the formation must take seriously the commitment of the present commitment of the lay person. And so what is its application? And so those dimensions must be present. And of course, again, it's driven by the mission itself. And so what we expect to see at the end of it is men and women who have been formed, who are aware of the tradition with respect to their formation. And so when we look, for example, at what is the church, ecclesiology, the church's interface with civil society is where the lay vocation is, and so that becomes a guiding principle, and so on.
You're listening to Church Life Today on Redeemer Radio. We are talking with Father Michael Sweeney, co-founder of the Catherine of Siena Institute and executive director of the Lay Mission Project, currently in the Diocese of Sacramento.
Great.
We're talking a little bit so far about the formation of the laity, the mission of the laity, and probably kind of talking around this general conception of the laity that they're at best junior members of the clergy with a natural ceiling there. But we have to flip this paradigm. This isn't something we're innovating. This is right there in the documents in the vision of Vatican II. So I wonder, how does the renewal and animation of the lay vocation also bear fruit potentially for the renewal of the vocations to priesthood, to religious life in their own way?
All of the papal magisterium subsequent to the council has emphasized that the raison d'etre, the purpose of the ordained ministry is the animation of the royal priesthood. The royal priesthood, the priesthood that is conferred by our Lord himself in baptism. And so we are baptized not only into Christ's life, but into his mission. And really, our relationship as disciples of our Lord doesn't take until we stand in his place. In other words, we undertake his mission ourselves. How often does he tell us in various ways that unless we do the word that he speaks, we don't own it.
That's in fact the definition of a disciple in Luke's gospel, right? The one who hears the word of God and
does it.
Acts it. Does it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so the purpose of the ordained ministry in the church is the animation of the royal priesthood, which is the priesthood that in which the laity are baptized. Now, that means that the ordained must be taught to govern in a community in which they have real co-responsibility with laymen and women for the church's mission. Now, the trouble is, again, we haven't had an imagination for the church's mission. Mm-hmm. So I hear a lot said about evangelization and, frankly, see nothing done about it. It's just words. Yves Congar, again, the great Dominican, said that for the church to fully appreciate the lay mission, the church has to come to two realizations. By the church, I think he meant the hierarchy. Number one, there's a world out there. Number two, it's not the church. and so the moment that we take that mission seriously, then really what is the mission of the ordained becomes clearer. And so the care of souls, after all, is rather vague. What exactly does that mean? Is it the administration of the sacraments, which everyone understands it to be, but what else? But if we take seriously the council has potentially several ecclesiologies, but right. If we take the mission seriously of the laity, then the purpose of ordination is a face-to-face relationship of our Lord with his people. Mm-hmm. The priest, the ordained minister, stands in persona Christi Capitis, in the place of Christ the head, and offers not his own sacrifice, but that of our Lord himself, or speaks, we hope, the gospel according to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, not his own.
the hidden fifth gospel, in my own opinion. Right?
Exactly. Yes. We stand in the place, and so the purpose of this, again, is the animation of a lay vocation. Mm-hmm. And I think if laymen and women in the church do not realize their vocation, then neither does the priest realize his. Mm. And so the documents speak of a real mutuality and call for a co-responsibility. Mm-hmm. But co-responsibility would have to mean at least four things. And this directs, I think, our vocation. Number one, that we have equal responsibility for the end. And so the priest does not have primary responsibility for evangelization. Okay. The priest and the layperson have equal responsibility. And in some instances, the layperson has greater responsibility than the priest, bringing the gospel where the priest cannot.
Because of the wherewithal and inclusion and investment in the world.
And understanding of the world. Mm-hmm. very important. Mm-hmm. The second thing would be that not only equal responsibility for the end, but equal dignity in the tasks that are undertaken. Mm-hmm. Otherwise we cannot speak of co-responsibility. Right. And so my favorite example, if my task is to put you to sleep by giving a, if my task, first of all, is to offer a talk and your task is to put up the chairs for it, we're not equally responsible because we don't have equal dignity in our tasks. If my job, on the other hand, is to put them to sleep and your job is to pick their pockets, then we have equal dignity in the offering toward the end. You see what I mean? The third thing that must be in place is equal voice in discerning the church's mission ad extra. Mm. Otherwise, we are not co-responsible. Mm-hmm. We're acting, the layperson would be acting out of some sort of delegation. Mm-hmm. And I think the fourth thing is a mutual accountability. Mm. And so we are accountable to each other for the judgments that we make, the work that we undertake mm-hmm. for the sake of the mission, then we can speak, and only then, of co-responsibility. Yeah. And so the formation must be such that the ordained trust those members of the church, the laity, who are co-responsible to the, in the church's mission to themselves.
And it affects the formation of both, therefore.
Exactly.
The ordained to be formed in such a way to make that available.
To animate the lay vocation.
Indeed, and the laity to be built up to that great and serious task.
Exactly.
You're listening to Church Life Today on Redeemer Radio. We're talking with Father Michael Sweeney, co-founder of the Catherine of Siena Institute and executive director of the Lay Mission Project in the Diocese of Sacramento. It's no secret that our church, especially in the United States right now, is in a time of considerable crisis.
Yes.
A crisis too difficult to speak about, to get our imaginations around in many ways. Every description seems to fail to do respect to the severity of the problems.
Yes.
The question, one of the questions, therefore, that's so hard to address is, so what do we do in response to a crisis of the magnitudes we have in the various directions? Do you see in any way the renewal, the empowerment of the laity for the lay apostolate as an even more urgent task now in
I
the
do.
Midst of crisis?
Well, I think the task has been urgent altogether,
mm-hmm.
Because we will never evangelize society or really any longer have the role in society that the church is meant to have, except through lay initiative.
Mm.
This, and that's not because this would be true even were there no such crisis.
Mm-hmm.
I think, by the way, the crisis largely comes from the fact that everyone, including most of the Catholic community, identifies the church with the clergy, and especially the bishops.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because the paradigm, again, has been one of the care of souls. The purpose or the end of the care of souls is personal holiness, or personal piety. And so this is...
And not mission.
And not mission.
Mm.
But if personal piety, then those who are responsible for the care of souls are expected to manifest personal piety in a way that is preeminent. And so if a bishop, for example, offends his office by immoral acts, then the church is seen to to be, and what the church teaches, is seen to be corrupt. And this is not at all the case, of course. I'm Canadian.
Mm.
And I'm always telling Americans, I assume you don't expect me to hold you personally responsible for the sexual exploits of your president.
Mm-hmm.
in a way, there's a parallel. But because I think so much the church has come to be identified with personal piety, with the care of souls, that again, a bishop who acts immorally would seem to discredit the whole of the church and her mission. And this is simply not the case. But I think that's very much behind the situation right now.
Mm-hmm.
And what we need is competent lay voices in order to solve it.
Indeed.
The solution is cannot simply be from the hierarchy.
Very true. I wanted to ask you a question that kind of moved us actually a little bit more to your vocation.
Mm-hmm.
As maybe a couple of questions there, if you don't mind, as a Dominican.
Sure.
You were talking about the sort of proper mission of the ordained priesthood towards the lay priesthood, to
yes.
the royal priesthood of the
yes.
laity. And so that says something about your vocation as a priest. I wonder, you know, in this work that you've been involved in forming the laity, is it the case that you are involved in this work and also happen to be a Dominican, or is this work of forming and empowering the laity more integrally connected to the charism of the Dominicans?
I believe so. I think if we were to speak the charism of the order simply as possible, it is to convert by means of the truth.
Mm.
And this is a task that is given not just to Dominicans, but really to every Catholic. Even every one of the baptized, we could go beyond Catholics. Mm-hmm. But that particularly. It's also the case that much of the work on the theology of the laity was undertaken by Dominicans. And so Yves Congar before the French Dominicans, especially Father Chenu, and certainly much of what we're doing right now in the program, mm-hmm. is founded upon those Dominicans. I do think too that it has always been in the order of the case that the sciences and other human pursuits, in other words, the secular pursuits, be undertaken for their own sake. There was a general chapter of the order in 1253. In which it was decided that philosophy must be studied for its own sake, and not merely as a propedeutic for a theological study. Mm-hmm. Now, and by philosophy, of course, in the Middle Ages meant all of the
everything
sciences.
Everything else.
But pursued for their own sake, and therefore making, and then St. Thomas Aquinas insists that the secular has its own dignity and mm-hmm. its own laws and so mm-hmm. on. So there's a great deal in the order behind
A lot of oomph behind this work,
yes.
from well before. Well, my second question then about your vocation as Dominican, and it's maybe a big question, and we don't have a lot of time, so I apologize for asking a big question at the end. But your particular charism, as you said, you know, converting by means of the truth, the order of preachers to proclaim the word,
yes.
as truth. And I think we all know, living in today's world, we're constantly surrounded by words. We're surrounded by more words than any generation,
yes.
before us. But it's also the case that we're in a position where we can't trust the words that are around us. And we could talk about fake news. We could talk about advertising. We could talk about
sure.
manipulation in all different kinds of ways. But we've become, and in some ways rightfully so, distrustful of the words mm-hmm. that are around us. So, as somebody who is charged with the ministry of preaching as your primary charism, how do you present the word as trustworthy in a situation where we're lacking trust in words?
The word that we're presenting is our Lord himself. He is the word. The scripture is not, strictly speaking, the word of God. It is the vehicle. Mm-hmm. And so our Lord himself is the word. And so he must be preached, and the word must be preached as his. And so who are you in his vision? And what does he say to you? Exactly.
That's the truth.
Yeah, through his. And the truth that we preach is a personal one. The revelation is this Jesus disclosing his own relationship to God, who is his Father, the most important thing in his life, mm-hmm. and it must be received that way. It's interesting. Revelation is the only realm of human knowledge that can be betrayed. Mm-hmm. If I forget who you are when you speak yourself to me, I betray you. I don't make error. It's betrayal. And in that sense, I think fundamental to preaching is that the word who is our Lord be spoken. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're speaking.
I think we ought to leave our listeners to mull over that for some time, because that's going to take a bit of unpacking, and it invites
Surely.
Our imagination to really stretch towards that only revelation could be betrayed, this communication of truth mm-hmm. of who you are and who I receive you to be. Father Michael Sweeney, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Delightful.
Thank you to all of you out there for listening to Church Life today.